Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
Obviously, that's an important issue for them. And we ruled that, in fact, because it was a lockout, they should receive unemployment, and they are receiving unemployment during the lockout. We've made very clear to the folks at Grid that we would like to see this thing settled for a number of reasons, including the fact that people need to get back to work. People want to get back to work. And for a lot of communities, the whole question about ensuring that quality work is being done by people who are part of the Commonwealth is a paramount issue. And I think everybody hopes and anticipates that this thing will settle shortly. Every time I see anybody from National Grid, I ask them when they're going to settle this thing.
This is, hold on just a moment, Sean with the governor. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Governor. Quick question for you. So a couple weeks ago, my boss and I were stranded on the side of the pike. We were doing some traveling right by the Framingham service stop. It started raining and her wipers stopped working. Now, we were in our work car. We have Fleet Roadside Assistance. We have AAA, both who could have serviced us. But we were told because the state police is the only people that could service us, they had to do so. After 2.5 hours of sitting on the side of the road because, quote unquote, we weren't a priority, we had to eventually just wait out the rain. It got nearly 3 hours. We ended up leaving after the rain stopped. I mean, isn't that a monopoly?
Huh. That's interesting. But and now the governor.
Well, separate and apart from being a monopoly, it sounds like really bad way to handle service just generally. So this one is now on my list.
You're writing it down. In fact, the governor is writing this down. So he will find out why indeed AAA or any other service cannot work on the Massachusetts Turnpike.
Can you do me a favor? Is he still on the line,
Sean? No, but he's listening. But he's listening. So.
Hey, Sean, can you give the producers your contact info so we can follow up with
Sean,
you?
Sean, call back. I think it was Sean, but call back and give the producers, give them your information, and the governor will work on this and solve this and then get more information from you and work on that. Absolutely. All right, listen, we had a short time with you today because we're going to interview somebody.
It's very interesting to be on this show at 8:45 in the morning instead of at 7:20.
Well, right. What's different about it? Like, I mean,
usually when I walk into this building, I'm the only one walking into the building. Today, I was one of an absolute army of humanity. I had to like wait for an elevator. That doesn't really happen. It's like it's alive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Usually when we come in here, it's
crickets.
How's your summer been?
My summer's been good. I'm anxious about the primary, which is the day after Labor Day, of course, and then the election in November. But I think we got some decent things out of the legislature at the end of the session. I'm going to sign I signed it last week in my office, but I'm going to have a ceremonial celebration today, signing our second major piece of legislation to battle the opioid epidemic later today, at an addiction provider in Boston. And we got some other good stuff done on environment and economic development and energy. But obviously, the big thing that's going to happen in about 3 weeks is everybody's going to go back to school.
Yeah.
So every time I see a parent with a kid, I look at the kid and I say, how's your summer? Oh, it's great. And it's almost over.
It is. And you've already shipped them off.
By the way, you have one going off, don't you?
I've got Julia with her senior year, and then Brees, I dropped him off at Bentley.
Did you?
And it was kind of sad.
Is that hard?
It was a sad
All the way to Bentley. That must be, 20 minutes from home?
Well, I love you, Brees.
I'll see you
at Christmas.
You've been through this. I was missing my son on Saturday. You know, he's got football, so he's busy all day and all night. And I sent him a text and I said, hey, listen, if there's anything that you don't have, you need it, you know, I'll run it over. I get all day Sunday. And he was like, no, I don't need anything. I don't need you.
See you, Dad.
I'll see you later. You're a sell.
I'll give you a call when I need money.
Yeah, I'll call you when I need money, yes. All right, well, listen, we got to remind everybody as you head out that they do need to go out on primary day. It's very important to get out there.
Primary day this year is the day after Labor Day. It's the earliest it's been certainly since I've been paying attention. And a lot of folks, if they don't remember that and put it on the calendar or whatever, are going to miss it. Because usually it's the second Tuesday in September, and that's the way most people are wired to think about it.
All right. Well, great to see you. Thanks for
being
here.
Good to see you guys, too.
All right. There's Governor Baker. I got to do this. Our next guest plays the oldest son of the man who is the head of a family media empire on what I believe to be the best new show on television, on HBO. It is called Succession, and it is our pleasure to have Alan Ruck on the Framingham Ford studio line this morning. Hello, Alan.
Hello. How are you?
Well, Connor is, in my opinion, maybe the best character on that show, because I think we can all relate, or at least dream, about being the son of a wealthy man and really not wanting to do that much with your life. Right. I mean, I think people can dream about that opportunity.
I think we all have, yeah. Connor's got some issues. There's definitely some stuff going on with the guy. But, so the fellow he's in his early 50s, and he's never had to work. He's never had a job. And he's never had to deal with anybody he didn't want to deal with. So, there's certain advantages there, certainly.
Sound familiar, LB?
Yeah.
In his 50s.
Yeah, you know what? I live it.
Is the Roy family based on the Murdochs?
Well, they were certainly an inspiration for Jesse Armstrong, but he looked at all these media families. Apparently, there's a family called Smith that owns the Sinclair Group, and they own more local television stations than any other outfit in the United States.
Wow!
He looked at the Roberts family that owns, I believe they own CNN. They have that stuff.
Yeah.
Certainly the Murdochs, certainly Sumner Redstone, and, the whole Viacom deal. So I think there were, multiple sources of, inspiration for Jesse. And, because Brian is a Scotsman and Murdoch is, Australian, I guess a similar gruff, guy with a quasi English accent. Everybody's like, oh, it's Murdoch. It's Murdoch. Of course, it's Murdoch. But
and that's definitely Murdoch's wife, for sure.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, she's mysterious, isn't she? She's so great. They're gonna expand her story in the second season. We don't know. She might turn into Lady Macbeth. We don't exactly know.
Yeah. I thought Mike Shue just started watching, and he still thinks that she's somewhat innocent. And I thought so at the beginning too. But
well, she sure is pretty. She sure is pretty. It's like, oh no, she's great. She's good lady.
Yes. And now, when do you find out? When will you guys start to film the second season? And when do you find out from a script perspective what may go on?
Well, there's been some loose talk of the beginning of the year, the beginning of the new year, and it takes a long time for them to break these stories and figure out where they're going. And they're in the writer's room now. They're over in England hammering this out. We would get the scripts. We wouldn't know anything until we sat down at a table to read it, which was generally about 10 days before we actually started shooting that particular episode. We also would shoot two at a time and mix it all up, kind of like a movie, shoot everything out of sequence. So we did blocks of two shows at a time. And our writers are so talented, they kind of can't leave it alone. So on the day, we'll do it once as it's written, and then they'll come up with a whole page of alternative lines.
Right.
Like, would you like to try this? What do you think about this? Would you like to try this? It's meaner, right? Why don't you try this? And then all of our directors usually give us one pass in any given scene where they just like make it up, do a free one, which is a really fun way to work, because by that time you've done the scene so many times as it's scripted, it's kind of down there in your bones, it's in your DNA, And then what comes out is maybe the same scene in your own words, but every now and then somebody will throw you a curveball. And if you're alive to it, you know, you just you have to hang on for the ride. And it's really fun. And sometimes you get a bunch of crap, and sometimes you get gold. So it's just a gamble, you know.
Alan Ruck is our guest, and we're talking about Succession on HBO. And if you weren't able to watch any of this first season, then you don't know that his character Connor is living with a woman that he's in love with, who's a prostitute.
Yeah, and, which is a good thing.
I was wondering if
pays for the barbecue on Sunday.
did you base your character on anyone as far as portrayal goes?
No, just my imagination. No, I didn't, I don't really know. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of stories out there like that, but, you know, Connor's a mess. He's got some issues, and I don't think, dealing with people is, one of his strong suits. So when he found this beautiful young woman, and he was like, money, you just want money? I have a lot of money. I just want to move in, you know? So that's, you know, it's like instant girlfriend, man. Got it made.
The season finale was, and what happened at the end was excellent. I enjoyed that episode, but I also really enjoyed the Tom Bachelor Party episode. I thought that was one of the funnier episodes, and that's the great thing about the show is you have the drama, but the comedy is extraordinary. I think.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. So I mean, that says something about us. The things we like to laugh at, but it is—it's wickedly funny. And Matthew McFadyen, who plays Tom, is—I mean, all the people I work with are just brilliant. You know, and what's great is off screen, they're delightful, charming, really funny, easy to hang with, and then we are all such bastards on screen, so it kind of evens out. You know, adds a little humanity to the whole thing.
A texter, Alan, wants to know if it was difficult as an actor to have, you know, such a memorable role as a young man playing Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and if you, you know, ever thought to yourself, all right, well, this is the best it's going to get, and I've done this already.
Oh, yeah. I for a long time, I was a lot, I looked a lot younger than I was. And so when I played Cameron, I was actually 29 years old playing 18. So what happened right after that is I kind of grew out of that teenage look, but I still didn't look like an adult. I would just look like some strange, I don't know, 20-year-old person. And I couldn't get any work for a while, and that's what I thought. I was, well, I'm a one-trick pony,
yeah.
And everybody's seen the trick. And so at that point, I wasn't really too high on Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but now I'm really happy that I was involved in something that people love, you know.
Did they just bring you in basically to say, Rooney, you're an a-hole?
Matthew and I had done a play together in New York. We'd done Biloxi Blues, and there was this guy, he's passed away now, named Gene Sachs, who was our director. And would always get so mad at us because we were always screwing around, you know. And he would scream at us, I don't believe you're soldiers. I don't believe you, soldiers. I don't believe you're going to go die in Italy, you know. And Hughes said to me, give me a voice. I need an authoritarian voice, you know, for the father on the phone thing. Just give me some kind of voice. So I didn't tell Matthew what I was doing. So I didn't. It was actually my imitation of Matthew imitating Gene Sachs. And I just did it to see if I could get a rise out of him. That's how that happened.
That's awesome.
It's such a great movie. I mean, it aged well, I think, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean, sometimes you look at things and they don't age well, but that movie aged well.
Especially the teen specific movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
Hard for those to be classic.
Yeah. I just wanted to know if you had to pay for the car.
That was all Hughes, you know. I mean, you just have to, it was all him. I mean, he wrote that thing in like a couple of days. You know, and he just was keyed into to young people, and he treated them like human beings, not like just as, you know, sort of objects of ridicule. And what's great about that, Ben Stein, you know, the guy that does Bueller, anybody, that guy,
yes, yes.
They had some really nice remarks about the movie. He said it's really a kind-hearted movie, And basically, there's this kid who could just grab his girlfriend and go do whatever he wanted all day long. But what he does is he tries to cheer up his mentally disturbed friend. So, you know, you know, he's a good guy, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that was pretty good. Succession, that's okay. Let's talk about the really big stuff, though. Star Trek Generations.
Oh, all right. Yes.
Okay. Captain Harriman. So. When is Captain Harriman going to return? And I have a whole treatment written out that they go through the time portal, the one that was in the City on the Edge of Forever, as you know. And then they land back in the 80s at Cameron's house. And Cameron is so afraid of his father, they take him on the Enterprise and bring him back to the future where he becomes a Starfleet captain.
Wow.
Can that happen?
Wow.
Can we make that happen?
That's
deep. So Cameron is Harriman? Is this the,
right.
Is this the theory? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm down with it, yeah. Okay, we just have to shoot that over to Paramount.
Okay, great. I'll send it right over.
Anyway, I did want to acknowledge also the cast of Succession is, I think Eric Bogosian is fantastic.
Yeah.
And also the actress who plays Shiv, and what's her name?
Sarah Snook. She's an Australian girl. Yeah, we love her.
Oh, and yeah. You know, Alan Ruck is our guest. What is with like these people who are? It's like all these British actors and actresses. They have no accent whatsoever.
No, you speak American.
I mean, is that not weird? I mean, I guess you're an actor, so that's
well, I think part of it is because American actors, we kind of like, you know, we shuffle and grunt and you know, I mean, if there's a trap to fall into as an American actor, it's like somehow we're from a scratch and sniff school. And British actors are trained in Shakespeare and the classics, so they're just used to using their voices. It's just most of their training is vocal. I mean, they do all the physical stuff, you know, but they do a lot of vocal training. And I think not all of them, but many of them have a great facility because British English is pretty, you know, it's you know, you listen to somebody with a British accent, it's very pleasant to listen to. It's like music.
Yeah.
So I just think they have great facility vocally and they have a good ear. A lot of these actors have a good ear, these Brits. So they just have a great facility with accents and, you know, God bless them.
Here's a text for you, Alan. Somebody had a music teacher named Carl Ruck who claimed to be your brother when they were in fifth grade. Was that indeed your brother?
No, I don't have any brothers.
All right.
Busted.
I've got a couple of step brothers, but
no,
and nobody named Carl. Yeah,
and then also this texter is talking about Twister, and you know, unfortunately, Bill Paxton passed away. What was it like to work with him?
He was one of those people. You know, I've had this happen a couple of times in my life when you work with somebody who's got so much life energy in them, they just got so much life force. When they pass away, you just can't believe they're no longer here. Another guy like this was Gary David Goldberg, who co-created Spin City and did Family Ties with Michael J. Fox back in the day. And another guy that just is like bursting with energy, just like big masculine dude, really convivial. You know, once Gary and Bill had the thing where they seemed like everybody's uncle. You know, everybody's uncle that just kind of wanted to make the party a success. And so it's Bill was just like that. He had a big heart, an incredibly big heart. I mean, he could get mad. I mean, he had his opinions about things. It wasn't like he was a pushover.
Yeah.
And that, by any means, but just a big, friendly guy. And it's just hard to believe, you know, I mean, you know, something we all have to look forward to.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, when somebody like that passes, it's just like, I just don't think of him as gone.
Well, do we have to wait? Do we have to wait like we normally do on HBO for 4 years for the next season? Or when do we get the
next season? I'm hoping not, because I could really use the money.
So hopefully soon the next season of Succession.
I'm sorry, would you repeat that? My daughter was talking to me.
Hopefully we'll get... How old is your daughter?
Well, I have four kids, but this daughter is almost eight.
Would you encourage her to be an actress, or would you tell her to stay away from the business?
She's already decided she wants to be a director, so we're saving up for USC. She goes to see her mother on her mother's sets, and she sits in Video Village with the headphones on. She was with her mom this past January on a movie in Toronto, and the director is a very nice woman named Vina Sood. She said, "Vesper, go give your mom a note." and Vesper said, "Mom, I think you should do the whole thing faster." Which is
another take.
That's
you know, so right. I think she's got something going.
Yeah. Listen, let's go again.
I've loved season one, and I love your character, and I'm really glad that that you joined us today, Alan. So thanks for being on, and maybe we'll talk to you when it comes back on. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Alan.
Have an amazing week.
All right, guys. Bye bye.
Thank you. All right, Alan Ruck, and his character is a really funny guy, and mm-hmm. he wants to run for president, but he doesn't have a platform or any real reason that he wants to run for president. He just wants to run for president because his dad is rich.
It's outstanding.
And why
Sounds
not?
Good.
Why wouldn't you?
And why not? Rooney,
you're an a-hole.
All right. That is, Cameron is a great character, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that movie,
you know, Ferris, obviously the lead. That's the lead role, but supporting. I mean, Cameron is great.
I don't even think he's supporting. The three of them were all. They stole the show.
Well Jennifer, right? Jennifer Grey was.
Not Jennifer Grey.
I mean, what's her name?
What is her name?
Sloan. Very, very.
Sloan? Sloan?
My daughter, Sloan. very, very attractive.
Mia Sara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Good job.
Fantastic. You know, the theory is that that was all in Cameron's head.
Yes.
That he stayed in bed.
Oh, right.
Bed the whole day.
No, we should have asked him about that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm just
call him back.
Damn
it. Ask him more about Star Trek.
Hold on. That's when you got to say, damn it.
Hey, by the way, you didn't identify yourself once during that interview. Now the guy has no idea.
I let you
now
run the show.
No idea who you are.
You're the host of the show. You
hey, Alan. I'll be here.
You,
can I ask? was Cameron dreaming everything? All right.
I'm surprised there wasn't a, hey, I hung out with Mike Fox.
Yeah. He was about to get into it.
I mean,
me.
I did. I was going to bring up that I used to, I beat up Wayne Van Dorp and Mike Peluso, the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right. That would have been a perfect tie-in. All right, we will be right back. Today's show is presented by EchoStore Technologies, your data center solutions provider. For more information, you can go to echostore.com. I'm going to see the whole EchoStore crew at the Bro Show on Friday. For me, we're 3 days away from the Bro Show, which is the highlight of every summer for me?
Yes.
This is it.
Yep.
Counting Bros.
Done.
Oh,
Friday
really?
Night. Yep. Oh, yeah, shoe. I mean,
Xfinity, right?
Yes. Can't wait. I got the tailgate all planned out. I'm going to be bro showing it up. And they have played Mrs. Potter's Lullaby to start almost every single show on this tour.
Are you checking the set list every day?
I go,
bated breath.
Oh, I'm telling you, Daniel.
You guys wear the same bro show shirts?
Same
button downs. Everybody wears button downs, jeans.
We switch it up, LB.
Sperry's.
We switch it up.
Yeah, you got matching Sperry's, or everybody wears a different color.
Listen, if there's a bigger Counting Bros fan than I, it is our good friend Echo Store CEO John Dooley. Not only is he going Friday night, but he's also going to see them up in the Winnipesaukee area on Saturday.
Oh, fantastic.
Which,
there in Guilford?
Yes.
Nice place.
That's a great spot.
I believe so. Today's weather is brought to you by Midstate Auto, and it is going to be partly sunny today, maybe some showers or thunderstorms around this afternoon. Temperature will be in the mid-80s. If you love buying a car at Midstate Auto Group, then imagine how great it would be to work there. Ray is hiring techs to work at a state-of-the-art service facility in Auburn. Great benefits and pay. Go see Ray at Midstate Auto Group in Auburn today.
Greg?
Yes.
You're not going to want to hear this.
What?
Oh, no.
I got a message from Karen.
A voicemail or a text?
Voicemail.
Oh, no.
Now, in case you weren't listening earlier or last week, Karen was my co-camp counselor at Camp Thoreau in Concord.
Yeah.
And tomorrow's Earmoth Unplugged, in the studio at 9 is the song that I used to comfort myself when I listened to it by myself in the dark over and over and over again after Karin dumped me.
Yeah.
And my my hope was that Karin was going to join us in the studio tomorrow when the mystery artist played his Ear Moth unplugged in our studio. I'm guessing that the voicemail is not good. Should we listen to it on the air?
Do you want to do this in front of everybody?
Well, I mean, listen,
I figured you'd wait till the end of the show. This is embarrassing.
I've already bared my whole soul with regard to to being dumped by Karin. I mean, I don't know. Why don't we play it right off the voicemail right here on the show? Go ahead, let's hear it.
Okay.
Good morning, Mike. It's Karin returning your call from yesterday about coming into Greg's show on Wednesday tomorrow. Unfortunately, I have evaluation scheduled at that time. I work with and evaluate infants and toddlers with disabilities, and I have evaluation at that time. So there's just no way I can make it. Would have been fun. Would have been some good radio drama. But unfortunately, I can't make it, nor can I listen to it. I'll be working. If you need to reach out, you know the number. Thank you. Bye.
End of message.
Sounds like the old... Something suddenly came up that I remember from the Brady Bunch.
It wasn't like a clear so a work thing. It was like so. What should I say here? What was I going to tell them?
Are you kidding me? At least she gave you the voicemail the day before. She didn't leave it, you know, when she was supposed to come in. And she's like, "Hey, sorry, I got a flat tire. I'm on the Pike. I'm just waiting for AAA." But then,
I mean, it's not like it's going to be uncomfortable or anything. It would have been nice to.
Oh, you think?
Oh, really?
Step outside the box.
It's not like I still have feelings for her. No, I mean, that was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just wanted to reconnect. I mean, sometimes it's nice to catch up with old soulmates. But all right, well, we're gonna have to do it without her. Tomorrow morning at 9. English artist. This is the Ear Moth that he's playing unplugged is his solo hit from 1984, top five hit. I've given a billion clues about this. Top five hit. He was nominated for a Grammy. He was in a band that had 3 top 20 hits in the late 70s and the early 80s. After a successful solo career, he was in a super group in the late 80s and the early 90s that had a number one power ballad. And maybe if we have time before we go, I will allow you to try to name that tune in 5 notes.
Ah!
Remember that game?
Yeah.
Are you too awesome. Are you too old for the name that tune? Game show or
old or young?
Do you remember? I mean,
I recall the concept of it.
Yeah. So these people would be like, I can name that song in 5 notes. Right. And then they play the 5 notes. All right. I'm going to give you the, hold on. Let me do this. If I can do this, this will be the final clue. And then I'm not saying anything until tomorrow. All right. So 5 notes. Maybe. Here. Okay, here we go. This is the Ear Moth that will be played unplugged tomorrow morning.
Oh boy.
Did you get it?
I think so. I think I got it.
Did you get it?
I think. I'm not 100%. If I had like that next half note, I think I could have nailed it, but I'm still on the fence.
Here's a 508 text. LB, why are we doing Ear Moth Unplugged? A text that wants to know.
did we talk about Clayton Kershaw taking the moth out of the umpire's ear?
Yes. Yes, we did. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That was crazy.
Was that?
Oh, what?
Was that Big Country?
No, it was not
Big Country. Okay. I love those guys. Those guys were awesome.
That was not. Somebody thinks that's Phil Collins.
No.
Maybe it's Phil Collins who will be in here tomorrow morning.
Drum sound.
I'm thinking Motley Crue.
Danielle, can you back that text machine up? Because somebody's looking for a rando dang, and it looked like a good one. Keep going if you can. Today is the final day of work for Concord police officer or detective. Paul Morrison. So he is retiring after 32 years. Could wow. you? Could,
Thank
could
you.
Could you give him a rando ding? Absolutely.
You get a bunch
Absolutely.
Of those.
All right, rando
for
ding.
That amount of time.
So many dings.
Rando ding on no that. Dongs. Jeff says he knows the artist, but Jeff, don't. It's like a spoiler alert. Don't say it. But do you know it?
Since you've been gone. Wait.
No, it's not since you've been gone. Well, I guess kind of. See, why does Jeff have to do? What is wrong with him? He had to
There's
call
a lot
and do
of
that,
things.
Right? There's a lot of things wrong with
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
You know. Yes. It's, you yes. know.
It's.
Come on.
Yeah. One of these. Short.
I'm gonna stop taking his calls. I'm done with him. Hello, Sal.
Hey, I knew it yesterday because, like you, I also used that song, 1984.
Oh, you did? Who was
the same age as you? So there you go.
Who was the girl?
Her name was Angie.
Angie, dumped.
And also the song from the Rolling Stones. I used that one as well.
How did she dump you? Letter?
Moved back to Michigan, and that was the end of it.
Oh, moved back to Michigan.
You know what amazes me is I can't believe a lot of guys when they get dumped they don't use the Lionel Richie "Hello."
Hello.
That's a good. Yeah.
I mean, the video
song.
Was like a tearjerker.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Let's see. This is Rob. If you're just calling to say that you know the song, then don't give it away.
I know the song.
Don't give it away to everybody else. Hello, Rob.
Okay. Hey, Greg. Love the show, man.
Oh, Rob. Thank you. Where are you from?
Marblehead.
Marblehead.
Excuse me. 01945.
I'm not from there. I married in.
Oh, nice. There you go.
That's even better.
Good on you.
That's even better. You know,
married up, as my friends say.
Yeah, you married up. That's right. You know the song?
I do. Okay. I do. And I love the artist. Yeah. And the super group was awesome. Saw him at the Paradise.
Yeah. Wow. I think we had a show like that we did, one of our, like, I don't know, Halloween party or something that we did with that super group. He also had, the original band that he was in had three or four fantastic hit songs. I don't know. I have to give credit to our extraordinary producer, Angry Mark Hsu, for working hard on this. Is he willing to do other songs or just the Earmuff Unplugged, or we don't know?
Well, yet. There was the one specific.
Yeah,
which,
that
was the only one that I had mentioned.
Okay,
so.
All right, we'll see what happens.
The hard part about that is rock and rollers are vampires. You know, so you want to, you know, hopefully he's inspired when he wakes up because he's probably not used to getting up early.
Maybe if you tell your story, Greg. And
tell my story, yeah, that's the whole entire thing.
Right.
That
well, oh that no, I'm why? Wait. Oh, why is he coming
that's,
in?
That is what. I, yeah. All right. Also, tomorrow morning, ask an attorney your opportunity to get free legal advice, and we're going to do that early so we have time for Earmuff Unplugged. So that'll happen at 8:15 tomorrow. Hello, Paul.
Greg.
Yes, Paul.
Did you know that Tina Turner also did this song?
Yes.
Really?
Tina Turner also had a remake and did pretty well with it, if I remember.
And Brooks and Dunn, too.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Brooks and Dunn did as well?
And Rod Stewart.
Oh, my God.
You want more?
That's what she said.
That's pretty good.
Sorry, outside voice.
That is bad. That is pretty good.
948, sure.
That's amazing.
All right. Here is a phone call for our chief nerd officer, Mark Hsu. James, what's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What are you calling about?
So, the news, when I woke up this morning and checked my email, Weird Al Yankovic is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on August 27th.
Rightly so. Well, rightly
he,
so. Yep.
He deserves that.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he does.
That guy's amazing.
They're doing like a live stream of it, 11:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, no, I think
he deserves that. He does deserve that. But didn't we talk the other day about how people pay for their own stars?
Well, they have to pay for them if you're offered one.
Oh, I see. You have to be offered one.
Yes, if you're offered one, okay. Then they say, "Oh, by the way, right. We're going to ship you off a bill for the grant or whatever."
Well, nobody's more deserving of a Super Bowl halftime show, in my opinion, than Weird Al. I've been lobbying that for a decade now.
That would be incredible.
Think about how awesome that would be.
By the way, I don't buy these texters who say that I delivered T-balls to the governor when he was in here earlier. I didn't think that was a T-ball type interview. I thought
you didn't deliver T-balls. You gave him the foam bat and said, "Go play in the backyard, buddy."
I asked him to please make a comment about the ridiculous statement that Elizabeth Warren made that our justice system is racist from front to back.
That's solid.
He didn't, you know, I don't, he made a comment. He didn't, he didn't denounce her. He said the comment didn't make sense. And then I asked him again.
I demand a denouncement.
Honestly, I don't understand, you know, when it comes to our senator, those of you who voted for her, I'm not sure how you can look at somebody who is going to stand up and pander to voters and say that the law enforcement people who are willing to go to work every day and willing to risk their lives to protect the rest of us, that they are all racist. I think that's an absolutely bogus statement. I think it's a statement that's made by somebody who doesn't really accomplish much other than running around like Chicken Little and saying that the sky is falling, which is really, in my opinion, all that our senior senator does. And so I don't know why. I'd like to know when the voters of this state are going to hold somebody like that accountable for saying something like that. I mean, it's, she backtracked a little bit by releasing a written statement to Channel 7 yesterday, which, you know, essentially said, I love our law enforcement people here in Massachusetts, but you can't have it both ways. You can't say something like that and then try to walk it back later when the chief of the Yarmouth Police Department holds you accountable,
right,
and
sir.
Says, you know, basically what he said was a couple months ago or a month ago in the case of Officer Chesna, you were talking about, you know, how law enforcement needs our support and we all value what they do. And now you're calling them racist. You know,
as a liberal, I thought that wasn't a fair statement at all, and I'd like to present this to my fellow liberals. So when Trump said all Mexicans were rapists and criminals,
which he didn't say, but go ahead.
When he said that, did you think that was fair? No, it wasn't, because it wasn't true.
Listen, this is the same thing.
You're throwing a blanket statement over a large group of people that may only apply to an extremely small percentage. You know, there's so many more good cops out there than
way more. There are just way more.
And the governor answered it that way.
He did.
I mean, in my opinion, he said, "You know what? There's a lot of people that make mistakes, and every day we're trying to correct that."
Here's a text that says, "Greg, please do not insult Chicken Little like that. The sky was actually falling."
Oh,
really?
So I stand corrected on Chicken Little, and great. Now I have to have chicken for lunch. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Greg.
What's up?
You know, Elizabeth Warren tried to walk back those comments a little bit yesterday by stating that she understands that the men in blue do a really good job, and but she was referring more towards the system is racist.
Oh, the system.
But doesn't she understand that the system is made up of people?
Yes.
The system is made up of the men in blue, the lawyers, the prosecutors, and the judges.
Yes.
She is calling the people who are involved in that line of work racist.
Yes.
100%.
With a blanket statement, and that's not a comment about her heritage. with she's making a blanket statement about everybody in law enforcement and everybody in the justice system.
I have her exact statement to 7 News yesterday if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, do we have the backing up truck beep sound effect that we can go ahead.
I appreciate Chief Fredrickson's thoughtful comments. The men and women in law enforcement work incredibly different, dangerous situations.
Start over again.
I appreciate Chief Fredrickson's thoughtful comments. The men and women in law enforcement work in incredibly dangerous situations. We honor those in uniform who put their lives on the line every day and those who have been killed in the line of duty to keep the rest of us safe. I spoke about an entire system, not individuals, and will continue to work on reforms to make the criminal justice system fairer.
Mm. Yeah.
And scene.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. All right. So basically she got called out. And now all of a sudden she realizes, I think she remembered that she actually represents the state of Massachusetts. And she stopped running for president for a moment and realized that she's in trouble because she made that comment. And I hope everybody remembers that when it comes time to vote.
I like how she pulled a no offense / with all due respect right out of the gate.
Yeah, right.
I appreciate the chief's thoughtful comments.
Yes, his thoughtful comments. Yeah. She doesn't think they're thoughtful. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, listen, you know what? All you're trying to do is push your political agenda.
I know.
Good senator.
I know. I'm the only one.
No, she does
I'm
nothing.
I'm the only one who does that. Go ahead. What is it?
I'm sure she supports honest law enforcement.
Right.
You're trying to make us believe that she doesn't.
Okay.
The system is corrupt. It is prejudiced. Everybody's aware of it.
Okay, well, that's what you think.
It's pretty much anybody clear thinking realizes that.
Except for the chief of police of Yarmouth. What's his deal? Is he a racist?
I don't know him, and I don't know what his history is.
Well, so he doesn't agree.
I just know you're just trying to...
Mike, never mind what I'm trying to do, Mike.
He's done more for the common working man than the poor... than any of your candidates have even come close to.
I know, Mike. I know, but never mind what we're not talking about me. We're talking about her.
Yeah, but that's the point.
I know.
You're pushing an agenda.
I know.
You're trying to make her as a corrupt individual.
Not corrupt. I never said anything about her being corrupt. But
look, you're always trying to meet
her thoughts are corrupt. Her thoughts are corrupted. But let me just don't get your panties in a bunch. Don't worry. She's not going to lose. I know you're panicked.
That's right. She's not going to lose.
I know, unless people who care don't want somebody taking the whole entire justice system and calling it racist to try to get votes. And then people may not agree with her. And I think
you're doing a gotcha. You're doing a
gotcha. A
gotcha? It's easy to do. I'm sure she supports honest law enforcement. Everybody clear thinking realizes
that. Well, she should have said that.
Trying to throw red meat to the mouth breathers that support Trump. In your agenda.
Well, now you're making fun of the people who have to breathe through their mouth because they have nasal issues.
Again, it's a guy.
I can't. All right, Mike. I can't. Thank you, Mike. All right.
Oh, boy.
We got to go. Oof. Coming up, though, over an hour of nonstop rock, commercial-free. That's the WAAF Workday Blitz and a text code word that you can text in to win $1,000 cash. And we're back tomorrow with Ask an Attorney and the first ever Earmuff Unplugged at 9 during tomorrow's show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.